It's been a long day. Grab a beer and sit back. It's time for Brew Talk. Here's Scott, Chad, and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Happy Brews Day, everybody. It's Tuesday. It is 2024, and it is Scott and Doc in studio and sitting in for Chad tonight. We have the owner, head brewer of Yetter Brewing, Daniel Brewer. So thanks for being here. Appreciate you being in studio today.
Thanks for having me.
And Doc, yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too.
Tink. And we should raise a glass and we're going to drink a little bit. What are we drinking?
So this is our Rambler's Gold from Rule 105. It's a British golden ale. Kind of has a interesting, very hoppy kind of malt. Well, I should say kind of a malty nose. And then as you drink it, there's a little bit of hops right in the center. And then it kind of finishes a little bit dry, just like you'd expect for a British golden ale to finish. So that's our beer.
Excellent. And it's quite tasty.
It does go down quite nicely. Yeah.
It's a very golden kind of hue to it, and a good nose and everything else. And
gluten reduced and only 5.2% ABV.
Nice. Daniel, your thoughts on our table beer for today?
Well, I actually made Doc bring this beer today. I was at his brewery drinking it, and I love this beer. It's got one of the best aromas for just a malty beer that I think I've smelt in ages. And he's right. It's got a little bit of hops in the middle, and it finishes very dry. So it's my kind of beer. I love it.
Good stuff. Doc, what is new as far as from what you've been hearing and everything else as we jump into 2024, we get in with both feet. We know that there's lots of things that always happen from the brew scene, but anything new, interesting that you've heard as of late?
The only real news I've heard lately is that, you know, January is upon us. And and with everybody's New Year's resolutions, we see a downtick in beer sales.
Yeah.
And so at Real 105, we're trying to do a campaign to help make dry January moist. We'd like you just to come in and try something from now and then. You don't have to, you know, go back to the way you were drinking before the holidays, but, you know, kind of help out the small business brewers all over the state would be kind of nice.
Sure.
So, but yeah, no, it's just it's been such a mild winter so far. I'm surprised at how mild it has been so far. And looking forward to when the snow starts to hit. Very jealous of the people out in the Midwest. Yesterday and today, they've been pummeled with snow. And hopefully it comes our way eventually. But in the meantime, while you still can get around, now's a good time to go out and patronize your local brewery.
Absolutely. Well, you talked about dry January, so yes. I'm going to float this out to you guys and see what you think about this. And I don't even know how to set this up, so I'm just going to do it. So in Miller Lite's latest attempt to try and grab market however they can, they have announced that beginning on January 12th, you can order online beer mints, Miller Lite beer mints. So it is this, and I'm quoting from the article in USA Today, the same great taste as Miller Lite, only without the beer. And it is, so you can get a tin of 40 mints for $5 online. You have to buy them from Miller Beer Lite Beer Mints. Oh my gosh, that's a huge, horrible domain name. On the 12th, while supplies last, and then wait, it gets better. They're dropping a second flavor mint on the 19th.
Okay.
So you can get a second one. And so, and this is what the head of marketing for Molson Coors said, is that we created beer mints for the folks participating in Dry January who might miss the taste of Miller Lite. I'm not sure how many people could ever miss the taste of Miller Lite in general. Sorry, that was my own disclaimer. Going back to the quote, while being out with friends this January. If you love the taste of beer but taking a break from the ABV for the month, we're offering consumers the perfect way to enjoy Miller Lite without breaking any resolutions.
Hmm.
And they are very confident that people are going to like it. They say when you pop it in your mouth, it will you'll get the freshness of mint, but when you chew the mint, you will get the subtle yet great taste of Miller Lite.
I got to try one of these now.
I feel like I should order some here in the next couple of days just so that we can
right?
review them effectively.
Well, we've got what's that would be Saturdays when you're Friday or Saturday
yeah.
when we order them then, right?
I could certainly order some on Friday.
Huh.
You know, it's only $5, so I feel like maybe I could expense that back to the radio station.
There you go.
But I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on
this? I remember quite a few years ago they came out with hop candy. They were hard candies, and they were flavored like a Cascade hop was one of them. I think they had a couple different hops. If you've tried them, too, it sounds like.
Yeah, I've tried them, and I really like the hop candy.
Me, too.
Miller Lite stuff.
I've tasted beer jelly beans, you know, those Jelly Belly jelly beans. I've tasted those before, and... Yeah, they didn't really taste all that great. So hopefully they've done some refining of the quality of the flavor. Otherwise, these are just going to fall through the floor.
Well, and, you know, so you guys, you know, you both said hop candy. But the other thing is when I asked you guys, this is why sometimes we need a camera in studio. Because just the look on both of your faces was kind of a look of despair. And Daniel's just like shaking his head going, I don't know. But I just, yeah.
Well, the hop candies are actually quite tasty.
Now, were those done by Miller?
No.
Well, I didn't know. Because you kept saying they. And so I'm like,
well, some external company that apparently knows how to make hard candies, and they just infused hop aroma into them or hop flavor into them. I remember the Cascade ones because I thought mm-hmm. they were actually really tasty.
Okay.
But I don't remember the other ones, the other flavors that they had. So
interesting.
They mm-hmm. probably still exist. I just haven't seen them in a little while. So... I don't know. My experience with beer-flavored candy has never been good, and it's centered around the Jelly Belly beer flavor, which to me tastes an awful lot like licking the floor in a bar after happy hour.
Oh, my gosh. So,
you've done that.
No, but you kind of get a mental picture of what the flavor is I'm tasting.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing on Amazon right now that you can get... Cascade hop candy. It's Cascade flavored hard candy. That's the only search that comes up right now.
There you go.
And so that is available. And it's only got a 3.4 out of 5 stars review. But people said you've got to like hops if you like these things and licorice.
Well, sure. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. But, you know, most people ranked them about 3 stars. So I don't know. I don't know what to think about the whole hop beer mint thing that's coming out of Miller Lite. And I mean,
how many beers have you ever had where you're like, you know what would go really good with this is a York peppermint patty?
Well, you know, some of the
beer.
Yeah, you know, some of the like a good milk stout. I could see that maybe, but I've never stopped myself and go, you know what would really go good with this is a breath mint.
Right.
You know, that's usually way before or after. It's not like in the middle of drinking a beer going, man, if I could just throw one of those breath mints in my mouth right now and finish this beer, it'd be like the best ever.
Yeah,
I'm just not having it.
I don't know. I would be surprised to see if their ratings are above a 3. But
we'll find out soon.
You never know. They might have refined the technique and have a really good idea here.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I feel like I'm going to add that to my list now, and we'll do a review. How about this? I'll get some the 19th, so we'll have two different flavors, and then we will do a review of the Miller Lite.
I like that
beer
idea.
Mints, you know, towards the end of the month. Maybe that'll be our
maybe
last
January
show.
I'll go on and get some of this hop candy.
And then, yeah, I'll send you the link, Doc.
Okay,
how's
cool.
that? We can do that.
That works for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that is the most kitschy, odd, niche thing I've heard
right?
of a brewery doing as of late, and so I guess I should at least give them props for that.
True. I mean, whenever somebody says it's like a liquid-flavored candy or something, I keep thinking of those wax Coke bottles or soda bottles
yeah.
that had the syrup inside.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm thinking. That's a great callback.
And I'm just thinking this this nasty beer flavor inside of one of those. But you never know. It's probably really tasty.
You say that with such conviction, Doc. I bet it's really tasty. Well, you know, we're going to find out here on Brew Talk.
I'm trying to keep an open mind.
In a few weeks, we're going to have both of the beer mints, and we are going to review those on air, and we'll let everybody hear what we think of them. Now, I don't want to do that instead of a beer review.
Oh,
I think we just do a segment where we review the mints and then we actually review a beer because I don't want to take away from our beer consumption over the course of the...
And if they're really good, are we going to be able to find these in the store one day?
I don't know. Again, just reading the article from USA Today, it did not say that. My guess would be if they get a really good... run of these. And I love how they put in the article, they're available on the 12th until supplies run out. So they're trying to catch
noon
us.
On the 12th, they'll be gone.
Well, maybe. Or on the 19th, you can buy both sets. I don't know. It feels like a little bit of a marketing ploy to try and make you think that they're limited. But
They probably are.
They are, but they're limited to the supply that they make.
There's only 2 billion.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But for $5, you get 40 of them, and that might last you a year.
You never know. That's right.
I'm just not sure where that is. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll pay some bills. And then when we get back, we're going to talk about one of the big boys getting uprooted as the main distributor or seller for the year. And we'll get your guys' reaction on that. Maybe talk a little bit about what's going on with Yetter Brewing with Daniel as our guest host. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Brew Talk on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA Northern Colorado's Voice, coming to you live
in Midtown Greeley,
in the Aloe Fiber Studios. That's right. We are going to make that.
It needs
known.
To be something that they mark on the map.
Absolutely. We just need to get like a geographical.
That's right.
Reference so that when you do beautiful Midtown Greeley, it comes up and
it comes up and it shows like a 10 block area.
Yep. And it's like, and KFK is like dead center of it.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. All right. So, looking at some of the beer news from 2023, we talked about that. There were some challenges. Obviously, we saw no growth in 2022. And the first half of 2023 actually showed about a 2% decline in the first half. Don't have any data on the second half. Those probably won't come out for a couple weeks. Right. But just talked about some of the changes. And one of the big things that came out of that, and I thought was interesting, is that... and. Part of it is Bud Light and some of their own challenges that they had from a marketing side, but they actually fell off of being the number one off-premise beer seller for the year. And that actually, and I'm a little bit surprised that this is who took the crown. It's Modelo Especial.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
yeah,
I don't...
We had heard rumblings of that happening during the end of the year when Modelo sales were starting to become much greater than... the others, and I think, wasn't it Bud Light dropped to third or something?
They may have. I didn't see the ranking, but yeah,
got pushed down to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's all that marketing is just a repercussion after their marketing.
They made some really risky gambles from a marketing standpoint, and they didn't pay off.
Yeah, they're starting to change that. If you look at their marketing, they've gone back to what they were.
Yeah.
And the people that they were marketing to before are now looking at the ads again going, okay. And so you're starting to see Bud Light starting to increase in its sales. But I think the damage is already done. Mm. People are starting to realize Modelo is not a bad beer. It's a pretty good beer.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of Negro Modelo, the darker version of the two. But Modelo is not a bad beer.
No.
It's a pretty good Mexican lager, so.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I know you guys actually offer a version of a Mexican lager at Rule 105.
Yeah, we have a Mexican lager That's probably one of our top sellers.
That's great. So Daniel, we haven't talked a lot about Yetter Brewing and what's going on in your world, and so let's shift gears, talk about that. Will you have a Mexican lager when you guys are able to open your tasting room?
I've thought about it. I can honestly tell you I've only brewed one in my life, and that was with a very different brewer. So I've thought about it for sure. I do a little different than Doc's. I'd have lime and sea salt. Do you put lime and sea salt in your
Oh, we don't. It's just the hop blend that we use has kind of a lime note to it.
Okay, yeah. So I would do something a little bit different than that. But no, I'm getting excited because I can finally start doing pilsners here pretty soon, or lagers, I should say. So we're going to focus more on that market, more in the, I have a meeting about this tomorrow, but Czechoslovakia, England, places like that. Will be more of our light lager style.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very good. Now, you said something there a moment ago. You said we're finally going to be able to do some pilsners. So what is it that is changing or you're going to be able to create in this new space that allows that for you?
I'm just leasing bigger equipment.
Okay.
So I'll have closer to a 7-barrel system.
It is a 7.
Barrel system. So then I can, lagers take 6 weeks, 8 weeks, they kind of tell you when they're done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be more excited when I have that bigger system. The old system at the old place was just a 1-barrel. And I did make a Czech style light lager, and I sold out of that in 2 weeks.
Which is pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you, can I tell the story?
Sure.
It was freezy days, and so I made a pilsner for February because I thought no one's coming in January, so I had the time. And freezy days, the Downtown Association of Greeley, I said, you get $1 off a beer, and they marketed it as dollar beers.
Oh, jeez.
So my place was packed that day.
I can imagine, yes. Wow.
So that's pretty much why I didn't sell it for a dollar beer. I gave people a little better discount, but I was like, I'm really sorry, but if I sell this for a dollar beer, I'm going to go broke.
Yeah. Wow.
That's really where we want to go in the future with our style of beers. We want to be, I don't want to say the Zwei, or we want to be kind of the German or the Czechoslovakian place of Greeley. Mm-hmm. Is kind of our scheme there.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think having your own niche as a brewery is very important. I mean, think about all the breweries in Fort Collins.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if they're all doing the same thing, who wins?
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice when everybody's doing something different. So if you want a Saison, to go to this place or that place. And if you want a barrel-aged beer, to hit up this place. And, that kind of stuff is actually a really good idea.
Well, that's where we're headed in the future.
I like it.
Cool.
Well, and Doc knows this, you may not, but I am a sucker for a good Hefeweizen. So I am absolutely always on the hook for those. So when you said that, my ears perked up and went, ooh, I wonder if they're going to make that. So, but they, there's other places in town that also make good ones, and I'm not trying to knock any of theirs, but I will be happy to add another place on my list where I can go get Hefeweizen. Yeah.
Yeah, our Hef won't come back on until probably April.
Yeah, I know that. But is the Kritzelweizen
Kritzelweizen still on?
And that one, I think almost it's so good, Doc.
I
love that beer. So I will always have that to fall back on at your place if that's not available. And sometimes I'll even just go that way because I really like it. But all right, so you're talking about some of those things. What else are individuals going to be able to look for and look forward to as you guys get closer to opening and being able to open your doors?
Well, again, I wish I had pictures for you that I could show you all, but you're just going to have to come in and look. I feel like I have a really beautiful bar. We got the wood for the bar off my grandpa's farm.
Nice.
And if you come and look at it, the guys who did it, it's a really beautiful bar. And if you just come into the place, it looks really nice. It's comforting. We got an old rustic kind of farm style going on and that kind of stuff. So I think it's going to be a really fun, cool place to hang out. I finally have a pretty cool patio.
Nice.
Out there. So we'll have that. And then I got a whole downstairs. So I've got a place where I'm going to build a stage and we're going to have some live music. I've got four TVs if sports is your thing. But I can promise you this, beer drinkers, I am not turning on the sound for those TVs.
Good for you.
So we're going to focus on friendship and conversation. But yeah. If your thing is watching a football game or a basketball game, we'll have it on for you.
Nice. I like that. I do think that that adds and allows a location to really build its own ambiance instead of it just being overwhelmed with, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 TVs, and then you always get the audio for one of them that is just overwhelming everything. Mm-hmm. So good
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Very I true. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now we turn TVs on when we do like Husker Night
oh,
or
absolutely.
Something like that, or Broncos or something.
Yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
But every TV yeah. is showing the same thing.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
get an option of what.
Yeah. You kind of get the it's one and only one, and then this is the audio. And if there's multiple channels going, it's.
That's right.
It's kind of a you can read lips or maybe ask for the
like
closed captioning.
Wednesday's going to be the tough day because I know the Nuggets and the Avalanche are playing at the same time.
Oh.
So we're not going to turn sound
yeah,
on.
Yeah. No. That would be. That would be difficult to do.
Yeah.
So that's very good. So you said farm, you said rustic, you're looking for that. What about beer selection? Are you looking to do anything unique or special when you're able to open or?
Well, I mentioned the light lagers.
Yep.
From there, I do still have the old one barrel brew system. So we're going to be experimenting with some new stuff. But I mean, I'm still going to have my top three sellers. I'm going to have the amber, the porter, I guess four. And then I have a Citra Pale Ale, which I brought on the show last time. Mm-hmm. And then I have what we call our old school IPA. It's a really traditional West Coast IPA. It's actually based on the first beer I ever brewed as a home brewer back when I was, I won't tell you my age. But anyway, I've been brewing that beer for, you know, over 20 years now. So we'll have those four.
That's how you know it's perfected, right?
I wish I could perfect it.
But it's the same recipe over and over again. Eventually, it just gets better and better and better, right?
He's kind of putting you on the spot, Daniel. What are you going to say?
It sells well. I mean, it is a very traditional West Coast IPA. And so I'll just say that.
So with the farmhouse kind of look and feel, or the, you know, the kind of that kind of wood and that kind of thing. Have you thought of doing any kind of like farmhouse styles and going that way as well?
I think we'll look more into that once we get like our traditional. I really want to focus on the lager thing for the first couple of months to get that mm-hmm. down. But yeah, we'll definitely look into that for sure. That's one of my favorite styles. And we do make a very, I don't know, it's a non-traditional saison, I'll say it. And for those people who really like beer, that's been a good seller for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I know that farmhouse style is just, I mean, it's something you just drink around and chat with friends with. And so, and I had tasted the one that you made there before. It's not bad.
I spent some time in Dexter, Michigan with Jolly Pumpkin. Back when I lived in Ohio, and what they were doing was really interesting. it was a lot of fun to be out there. They've really perfected their beers, I think. Mm. When I was out there, they weren't that great. But they've gotten really good and really popular, especially on the east side of the states.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
So any kind of an ETA, and I don't want to put you on the spot, and we're not gonna lock you down to anything. But I know that, you know, you and I have chatted briefly a couple times about when you're hoping to open, when you would like to open, when you're going to be able to open, and those are all different dates. But do you have anything, just like pie in the sky, you're looking at right now?
You know, every time I give a date, I feel like I'm getting jinxed.
Okay,
I think I was telling Doc, I think I'm going to open here. I don't know when it was. And I came in like 3 weeks later. He's like, are you really going to open that day? And I'm like, no. And that's been a story I've been telling for too long.
Yeah.
So what I can tell you is that we're getting a lot closer. You know, if you walk by the building, it's that old subway on 9th Avenue in downtown. If you walk by the building, you'll see a lot of improvements have been made. They're working on it pretty much every day mm-hmm. now. So I'm not going to give you a date. If you want that, you can follow us on Facebook. If you go to our website, you can email me. info@yettersbrewingcompany.com, and I'll be gladly to keep you up. Like, we're still looking, but I'm no longer giving out dates.
Okay, what about seasons? Could you give us a season that you're hoping to open in?
Before next winter, for sure.
Oh.
Well, if you call her, yeah, if I'm not open by next winter, I'm going to join Mike at his place. Or Doc, I'm sorry. I'm going to join Doc at his place. I really, 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 really want to be open by St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
That is.
All right. That was way. I just want to go on record. That is way more specific than I was asking for.
Okay.
So,
I'm just giving you my hopes.
No, I get it.
That's our biggest day of the year. Yeah. And I love the beer that I serve for St. Patrick's Day. So
awesome.
Really hoping that gets done by then.
And it's sounding like that you're still able to do some production work now. Is that accurate, that you're able to use the systems, or you will be soon?
Soon. Good. Yeah. Well, hopefully they're going to have my little one barrel system ready. Oh, I hate giving dates, but they should have it ready soon. So I'm really hoping I can start making beer really soon.
Great.
I don't know when I'm going to be able to sell it, but
I completely understand. And again, I'm not trying to put you on the spot and make you feel uncomfortable. I think we're just excited for what's to come. And everything you've described so far makes me want to make sure I check it out and get there. So definitely want to do it.
Construction is always something that
it is.
Takes twice as long as you think.
Yeah. And we'll just leave it there.
Can I mention our collab?
Absolutely.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I just did a beer with Doc in, what's it called over there? Highbrow Tap House. And so all three of our names are going to be on it. It's a, what we call it, Bloody Orange?
It's a Bloody Mild.
Bloody Mild.
Oh,
that's the title of it.
Okay, well, we're doing a Bloody Mild. So that beer, Doc and I brewed together. A little bit of help from Ben at Highbrow, and he helped us write the recipe. So that'll be on at Highbrow and Doc's place at Rule 105. So
nice.
Be excited for you guys to try that one. You can always email me and say, this is the best beer I ever drank.
Those are the only emails that Daniel will accept. Everything else goes immediately to the trash.
There you go.
If you don't like it, email Doc.
Yeah. Well,
it's a blood orange,
okay.
American mild.
All right.
So about 5% alcohol and kind of malty with a blood orange backbone in there.
Well, hopefully you will bless the show with that as a table beer in the near future when it becomes available.
Might be able to do that too.
That sounds exciting. I'm looking forward to that. So very good. Well, let's go ahead and take another break. And when we come back, we're going to review a different beer than anything that we have done on the show, at least in my tenure here. And I have no idea how this is going to go, but it should be fun. So stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Brew Talk on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. And wanted to just give a special shout out to the Weld County Swami, who said, sign him up for the beer and candy. He's completely in. Little late on the response, but Micah was not doing a good job keeping track of the Brew Talk text line, which is 888-530-0043.
So, how dare I not pay attention?
I know. So if you are upset with the delayed response to the text line, whether you are the Weld County Swami or anybody else, please make sure that you reach out and you blame Micah, because it's all his fault. But we appreciate the love.
Well, this next beer is to blame me for, so everybody's going to take a little bit of blame by
the
end of
the show. Tell us what you brought us to review today.
Well, I happened to go to Nebraska, and I saw this and thought, well, I got to get it. This is...
Okay, whoa. I'm not going to let you get away with that. I just happened to go to Nebraska.
Well, to see grandkids.
But you are a Nebraska person at heart, and all of the, I mean, you're there quite a bit.
Well, yeah,
because
I have grandkids that live there.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like you just happen to wake up one day and go, you know, it'd be fun, let's go to Nebraska.
Yeah,
you're there all the
time. That's true. That
Anyways,
true.
Continue. I'm sorry.
So this is from the Nebraska Brewing Company. which I have been looking to try to remember where it's at. And it's in La Vista, which is just, if I remember correctly, right outside Omaha.
Okay. So eastern Nebraska.
Right. This is a beer called the Spicy Pickle Fight Pickle Beer. And on the label it says, the Pickle Fight returns with a knockout. This spicy variant was made for the bold, bringing a healthy amount of spice that is perfectly balanced with a zesty pickle flavor. And for those that crave adventure, Spicy Pickle Fight is the real deal. It's 4.6% alcohol with only 9 IBUs.
Wow.
And it is yellow. It pours.
It is a
neon yellow
it is,
color.
It is. You know what? I think if you ask Micah, this is almost Mountain Dew color.
It is almost Mountain Dew color. Not quite as bright and too many bubbles.
Yeah. And but
when you put it in your glass, the first thing I smelled was like that pickle vegetable mix.
Yep.
Gardenera mix or what are they? Is that what they call it?
Gardenera, yeah.
That's what I smelled in my glass. And my first couple of sips have been doing nothing but making my mouth water. It's definitely like pickle juice with a very spicy kick in it. And I actually like it.
I do too. I'm looking at the backside of the can and it literally has a phrase, a pickle punch to your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is probably the most appropriate phrase that I can think of. So we now know that Daniel, he's turning red. Oh my gosh. We might have to call for CPR.
That's the bitter beer face right there.
Big time. That is.
And I like bitter beers.
Oh my goodness. You know, the one thing I picked up right away, Doc, was the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And the nose, you know, just that whole element you're talking about, to me, it reminded me of like somebody who has like brought to your house a jar of dill pickles that they jarred and pickled themselves.
Yep.
And it was a super dill, you know, kind of run, and you open it up and you get that first, you know, smell and everything else. And it's not a bad smell. It's definitely very dill pickle-ish, but it's there.
I really like it. And that spiciness to it is really... Mm. It kind of burn your throat as it goes down.
It does. It is. And nice. I'm feeling it like in the back of my jaw and every place else. It's literally just engaging a lot of my senses.
A beer from a company, I never would have expected this.
Yeah.
And, so what are your
Daniel, what
it,
do
Dan?
You think?
Yeah, it's disgusting. I don't like dill pickle juice in my beer, and I don't like spicy beers, so this one's not for
me. It's a double whammy.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well,
better than this one, though, I imagine.
Yeah, and you know, Doc just raised up a cucumber sour. Mm. I don't like cucumbers, and I do like some sour beers, but I've yet to have a good cucumber sour, so if you have one, you know, get on my website and email me one. But
yeah. You know, I remember, so I've done a bunch of events in Berthoud for the National Mill Dog Rescue. And one year we had a beer garden, and City Star Brewing, we've had them on before, and they were actually one of the premier sponsors for it. But they did a cucumber beer that year. It wasn't a sour. It was just a cucumber beer. And I will tell you this, it went like gangbusters. And I actually ended up pouring in the beer garden for a couple hours. And I had a line the whole time. It was very good. It was very refreshing. And it was a great beer. And I've just heard it's kind of a pain in the butt to make. And so not a lot of people do it. But
Right. Haven't
done a sour before. But
this particular beer, though, I'm just thinking would go really good with a tamale.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I'm right there with you.
All the masa to help cool it down a little bit.
Oh, but this is, it is exactly as described.
It is.
And this is not a quaffable beer. So this is not a crushable beer. I mean, let's be fair, even though the alcohol content is low.
I brought one can, and
you brought one can.
It's going to be more than enough
for
the three of us.
I think you did fine. But I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, and it doesn't. It isn't negative against this beer. It is just,
yeah, you've got to take this in small chunks and you've got to kind of work your way through it. But that, to me, that isn't a negative. I see Daniel's like pushing it away from him going, I'm not drinking this again. There's no way else. But I'm sitting there. I'm right behind you, Doc. I know you just finished your glass and I'm about to do the same. But this is very unique. I don't think I've ever had a beer in anything close to this before.
By this time, after having about four or five sips, I'm starting to notice other things in the beer, that it's kind of creamy, like a cream ale kind of texture to it.
Okay.
Really? It does have kind of a sour base there, but there's this creaminess to the beer that I actually enjoy a little bit. Hopefully it's not too lactose, or that's about the last of the beer I'll be drinking.
Yeah, let's hope not. I didn't see lactose labeled or identified on it.
They would note it.
Yeah, it is. And it's definitely that pucker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm getting that from the sour, you know, from the dill and everything else. But again, not in a negative way. So
yeah, and I'm one of those that would go to, you know, when you go to the Quickie Mart to buy some road food or something like that. Like, people will buy candy bars or bags of chips or something. I'll buy the pickle in the bag.
Yeah.
And just then I've got a pickle to eat. And that's me. I just love pickles. So
yeah.
This is right up there with some of the best pickles I've eaten.
It's really good. So let's take a break. We'll get into our final segment. We'll review the beer. We'll see how much Daniel wants to even give it, because we know where he's going to be. But it'd be interesting to see how you and I land on this. And then, well, some final thoughts. I hear Daniel's got a little bit of a story about Doc and pickle juice and his brewery. So yeah, we'll let him tell that story in a minute. So stick around. We're going to running out with some Rush, and we'll be right back.
Pickles, pickles, I like pickles. I like them better than an old fudgesicle. Pickles, pickles, I like pickles. Won't you give me a pickle?
Welcome back to Brew Talk on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. And for the amount of grief that we give Micah behind the glass, he does do a pretty darn good job as a producer, as he brings us into a very apropos
spicy
song.
Kind of ending here to this segment.
Absolutely. So, Daniel, final thoughts on the beer?
When I say it's disgusting, I don't think there was anything wrong with the beer. It's just not my style of beer. Yeah. But, yeah, I gave the rest of my beer to Doc, and he pleasantly took it. It's something I will never touch again.
Oh, so that pickle didn't tickle your fancy?
And I really do like pickles. I'm not trying to come off as, you know, some kind of hater of pickles. I want them on my hamburger, not in my beer.
Fair enough. And I want to come back to that in a moment, because I know that you've got a story. So let's hear about that. But Doc, final thoughts?
Wow. This beer is very interesting.
Yes.
Used in a whatever connotation you like to take that word. So it's spicy.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like pickle. It tastes like spicy pickle. So
it does. And as someone who's not terribly proud of admitting this, I have drank just dill pickle juice before.
Sure.
Straight. And this is not it. It is really good. It's got a good flavor. It's got that spice to it that everything else.
It's not just a bucket of salt.
No, it is not. So it does really good. So I think we should go ahead and score this beer, and we'll go from there. All right, everybody, on the count of three. One, two, three. Daniel, is that a taster I see in front of you?
Because
we did make you score it.
I mean, if you're going to force me to drink it again, yes.
No, I'm not going to force you to drink it again, but you at least got to score it. So, and Doc?
I got a growler.
I do too. So even though we had a taster on the one side, it does make it Brew Talk approved.
Beer.
Yeah. And I think the dill and the spicy and everything else just makes it that good.
I think so. I think that's what's so awesome about it.
It definitely is. All right, so Daniel, tell us the story. You've been alluding to it all, you know, kind of even off air about this whole dill pickle thing at Rule 105. So
Well, Doc has kindly invited me to go to his brewery a couple times, and he makes this really good Pilsner. It's called Chill Pill Pilsner, and it's one of my favorite beers to drink at his place when I come over there, or even when I'm just hanging out. And he can't take a hint. Every time I go there, he's like, "Do you want dill pickle juice in this?" And I'm like, "I'm a purist, Mike. I mean, I don't." Oh, sorry, Doc. I don't.
Wait, we can't give his real name out on the air. What are you doing?
Can we take away his doctorate?
No. Nope.
Anyway, that's my story. I might try it again one day because he's so enthusiastic about it. But I'm not a fan of pickle juice.
I was approached by one of our bar staff after we made that Bavarian Pilsner. And they said, you know, one of the trends or rages right now is to add pickle juice to your Pilsner, and we should get some and try it. And I said, well, I've got some pickle juice in the kitchen. Let's go grab some and add it to a beer, and we'll see what it does. And so we did, and when there was just a tiny bit added, like about a quarter of an ounce in a pint of beer, it just blew my mind. It changed the beer from being anything related to sweet to becoming very savory. And for me, that was just a game changer. I was like, oh my, that just completely changed the entire flavor of the beer. And it was awesome. But it wasn't enough to even notice that there was a pickle in it. It's not enough to even smell the pickle juice. When we serve it to anybody that asks for it, we give them 2 ounces of pickle juice because some people are that in love with pickles. And if you add all 2 ounces of your pickle juice to it, I can guarantee you the beer turns lime green.
I bet.
And the whole thing tastes like pickle juice. And so if you are to add it, I strongly recommend you start with a very small amount just to try to temper the flavor and get that savory umami kind of note in the beer.
Interesting. I could see that. And by the way, my lips are tingling from the spicy.
Same here. I'm finding it hard to talk.
and I'm not saying that in a bad way. So I'm not changing my score either. I think it's great. So, well, we know that Daniel does not like pickle juice in his beer or pickle beer, but Doc and I do.
There's an awful lot of people that don't like pickle juice in their beer. Just like, would you add tomato juice to a chili beer? And you know, there's some people who would, and there's other purists that say no, thank you.
Can I say for breakfast?
You know, I will say, you know, God bless her soul and God rest her soul. But my mom, that was the only way she would drink beer is a red beer. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing that she would do, and it was a Coors Light and tomato juice. But if you gave her that, she would drink it. Any other, she wouldn't even touch a beer. So. Mm. That was kind of her thing. But again, more of a Kansas, Nebraska sort of
growing it's up a Midwestern
thing. It definitely is a Midwestern thing. So
Noticed it a lot in the Midwest, I guess.
Yeah, I have heard of it more there than I have like on the West Coast, which I've been.
On the West Coast, it's clam juice added to your beer.
That sounds even worse. I'm sorry. I can't even imagine. And that was okay for you, Daniel?
No,
I'm like, okay.
That one's an acquired taste.
That one's not good. Oyster shells in a stout, though. I can go there.
Yeah.
Like when they make the oyster stouts.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's just because they're adding the calcium carbonate to it to do some stuff to it. Now, Wynkoop made the Rocky Mountain oyster stout.
Sure.
And
I didn't know that.
And actually, I believe they even served the Rocky Mountain oysters after they.
That would make sense. I think you could put them in the beer, boil them, and then serve them.
Yeah.
And
so that would be a very interesting thing to go.
I will say that I have had Rocky Mountain oysters in the past, and while it is not something that I go out of my way to get on a regular basis, it wasn't horrible. So
no, they're
all right.
If they're deep fried.
If they're deep fried and done right, yes. They kind of have to, you almost have
tons
to
hot
mask
sauce.
It. Yeah. There's a lot of those elements to it. So, well, we're coming right up against the end of it, and we're almost out of time. But, Daniel, thank you a lot. Thank you for coming and just telling us about what's coming up, and certainly excited to see when Yetter Brewing is going to be opening its new downtown location. Looking forward to that and excited for what 2024 has to offer. And hopefully Chad is doing well. We're looking forward to having him back hopefully at some point in time in the near future. But Doc?
Rule 105's got specials all month long and music this Friday.
Sounds great. Sounds like a lot of good opportunities. Get out there, go see them, check it out. And everybody, you guys stay thirsty.